Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I want to share some reflections on our Gospel reading from John chapter 10. It's about listening to the shepherd's voice. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can take some time apart. We can block out all the other noise. We can come and we can hear you. We can hear the voice of your Son calling us anew. Bless us as we hear, ingest, process, and live your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm getting to the age where I am starting to struggle to hear, particularly to hear conversations in a noisy room. I'm sure there's one or two of you in the same boat. I guess it's just what happens. Now, I also have something that's called domestic deafness. You might have heard of it. My wife is here today, so she can affirm that. And that's different. That means not really hearing what my wife or my daughter is saying when they're about this far away from me. I can fix that easily enough. I can't fix that. I can fix the other hearing easily enough with hearing aids. The domestic deafness is simply needing me to pay attention. Now, we live in a very noisy world. We can have these AirPods in our ears, headphones. We can be oblivious to what is going on. Some noises are beautiful, the sound of beautiful music, like the music that we've heard today, the sound of birdsong, even, if you like, the sound of the silence of a beautiful morning. And then there are the noises that are very annoying, a motorbike revving up, or tyres on a car squealing, or in my case, living 15 minutes away from the Adelaide-Melbourne freight line and listening to the trains and the diesel engines at 3 a.m. as they're going up the gradient to the hills. So some of those noises are not great noise, and there's a bit of chaos. But there are other kinds of noises coming at us too. Noises that are calling us to focus on ourselves. And these are the noises that we hear mostly in advertising, and sometimes we read it as well. Are you really happy? Do you have enough? Have you lived your life fully? Buy this thing, go on this trip, indulge in this experience, and you will be happy. Now, advertisers know that we are driven by the things that fulfill our self-interest. We are curved in on ourselves. That's what sin has done to us. We don't see others, first of all. We see ourselves and our needs. And in order for us to be a true individual, we've got to make our mark and stand out from other people, have something different. An American theologian and pastor, Andrew Root, says this: once a product was advertised for what it did, you know, buy this car, it'll do 0 to 106 seconds, now it's advertised for what it means, how it serves our deepest interests. It will change your life. It'll make people admire you. In other words, it will make you stand out from the herd. There's lots of noise out there, and sometimes we're not even aware of how much we're being influenced by the noise and the voices of others. Voices that aren't seeking our own good, but our money, our time, and ultimately, in fact, our allegiance. And then think of the other voices that come from deep inside. They're the kind of voices you might hear when the train's not running. I hear them at around 3 a.m. when there's all the ceaseless activity of life is stopped and there's just you and your thoughts. What's really going on in my life? Who really cares for me? Am I really a good person? Now, these voices, of course, come from the insecurities that we all have, that we've not met the standards that we've set for ourselves or that other people set for us. And sometimes, sadly, even in the church, we hear these voices too, voices which say, if you love God more, then God will give you your heart's desire. Or you can be sure of God's blessing if you pray more, or are more generous, or serve harder. I don't know about you, that these kind of voices do not drive me closer to God, but further away. Well, we've made a decision to be here this morning, and I understand it is a very, very special day, but nevertheless, each Sunday we make that decision. We've come to listen to the voice of Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Now, he's not trying to sell us something. He's not trying to take advantage of us or to bleed us dry. He's not like the Pharisees, for example, to whom he's actually talking in our gospel reading today. They were so busy trying to bend people to serve them that they forgot that the calling that they had been given by God was to shepherd his people and to lead hungry people to green pastures. Now, if you know, remember John chapter 9, which I think we heard a few weeks ago during Lent, the Pharisees were infuriated with Jesus because he had healed a man born blind. Actually, the worst thing was not that he healed him at all, but that he did it on the Sabbath, on the day when no one was supposed to do any work. Effectively, to use the image in our reading today, they saw themselves as God's gatekeepers. We decide what God can do and not do and when. And remember how they turn on the now seeing blind man. They turn at him, they try and pressure him to turn against Jesus, but he will not budge. And he comes to faith in Jesus, but they, by their intransigence, refuse to listen. So the words in John chapter 10 are first of all words spoken to the Pharisees. Now, you probably also noticed in our reading today that Jesus doesn't actually call himself the Good Shepherd. Not in the first 10 verses anyway, but he uses the imagery of sheep and sheepfold. You have to read from verse 11 onwards where Jesus does say, "I am the Good Shepherd." But today he says this, he says, "I am the gate for the sheep." And the shepherds that he's actually talking about are those people whom God has entrusted with the calling to watch over God's flock, his chosen people Israel. That was who Jesus was referring to in the first place. And that's what the Pharisees, the priests, the elders, that's what they were meant to be doing. Now, we have shepherds today too, and we call them pastors. And that word actually comes from the Latin word for shepherd. A Latin verb which means to lead to pasture, to set to grazing, to cause to eat. Now, it's not just a name that Lutheran Christians use for people in my role, but in other churches, of course, people might be called priests, ministers, but for us, the key word and the word I would respond to most often is pastor. And we're thankful to God as we look back at the joint combined history of the congregations that we're part of, which stretches well beyond 100, 150 years, thankful to God for those shepherds who have served us over the journey. And today especially, we give thanks to God for Pastor Phil Jopic, who will become the first pastor of Living Vine Lutheran Church. And so I'll see you again in a couple months when he's installed. Now, we don't really have shepherds in the sense that the Old Testament did, but this is what it would look like where a shepherd would actually pen the sheep for a night. Shepherds didn't have paddocks, there were no fences, but they led their sheep to find pasture. At night, they'd pitch their tent in the company of other shepherds. They would either make a circle with the tents, or there would be a pen like this made of stone, and there would be one gate. The shepherds, and there would be more than one of them, would lead their sheep separately. It's a beautiful analogy of what we're doing today, into the pen. The sheep would be safe for the night, and one of the shepherds would sleep across the gate. as the gatekeeper, the protector. Come the morning, each shepherd would call his sheep, and his sheep would hear. They knew the voice of their shepherd, and they would follow that shepherd out to wherever they were to go to graze, to find the good pasture that he'd chosen for them. Well, Jesus says to us today, not I'm the good shepherd, but I'm the gate for the sheep. I'm the one who gives you unlimited access to God and the good things, the blessings of God. I keep you safe in God's care. Now, in our second reading, we heard words like this, where Peter reminds us of God's shepherding love through Jesus. Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live to righteousness. That's the summary of the gospel. By his wounds, you have been healed. And we get that image of Jesus as the lamb who was slain. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer. The word there is episkopos, bishop of your souls. And people who have a role like mine as a pastor, our job is to direct God's people to Jesus. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and directing us to Jesus, who is the gate, who is the good shepherd. Later on, Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. I'm the vine. I am the resurrection and the life. And so this morning you've heard the voice of Jesus in the words of John's gospel and in the witness to him in the scriptures. Jesus goes on to say, whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. I wonder if you have an echo here of one of my favourite psalms, Psalm 121, and as I stand here, I can see the hills in the distance. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and evermore. That's what God's shepherding love looks like. Whether we're here in worship, whether we're at home, whether we're at work, whether we're spending time with family or with friends, we're always God's sheep. We're branded as his special possession. Jesus is the gate who has granted us entry into his Father's kingdom. The door has been opened by Jesus to God's, the Father's love. He is a shepherd who leads us. And so when we listen to his voice and follow him, not just into the sheep pen, but out, in and out, out into the world which can be a dangerous and difficult place. But when we listen to the shepherd, we live in safety. We have not necessarily all we may want, but we have all we need. We have fullness of life, fullness of relationship with God, and the gift of relationship with the fellow body of Christ. Today we're going to make a formal or constitutional commitment to our new identity. I was here the other Sunday in Palm Sunday when we voted to become Living Vine Lutheran Church. This is based, coming together is based on the understanding in the first place that no matter which congregation we have been part of for many, many years, together we are God's children. Together, we are members of the flock. Together, Jesus is our good shepherd. Together, he is the gate through which we have all entered into life. We need him, but we also need each other in that order. We need to hear the shepherd's voice. We need to hear his voice in the company of other sheep. We get a beautiful image in Acts chapter 2 of the life of the early church really, really early on, so soon after Pentecost Day. And what do we hear about the way the church lived out its common life? First of all, They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. So teaching, that is, to do with listening to the word expounded, proclaimed. Fellowship, being together, sharing that identity. The breaking of bread, which, if you remember the Emmaus story last week, is a shorthand for the Lord's meal, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They continued to meet together every day in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. There was this beautiful sense of hospitality. They praised God. They enjoyed the favour of all the people. This is a vision, isn't it, of Christian community? And I pray this is a vision of what God can and wishes to do through what we are doing this day. The first Christians were living in the joy of what Jesus had brought them through his death and resurrection. It was so close. It's a long way away in time for us, but it's just as real in purpose and in the reality of our own lives. Jesus says to us today, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. Think of all those voices that want something from you, that want to direct you down hazardous paths. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life. I, the living vine, give you life, that you may have life and have it to the full. So I wonder, how's God calling this newly named and today, we pray, newly formed Living Vine Lutheran Church to listen to his voice, to follow the voice of his shepherds? How is he calling us to contribute to this new congregation made up of all the congregations of which we're a part? It's going to be more than the sum of its parts through God. How are we going to experience this fullness of life in him? And how are we going to speak of that to our community? How can those who are not yet part of God's sheepfold hear his voice of love in a world where they feel so judged by others? How can they hear the Good Shepherd's voice of forgiveness where they're weighed down by guilt and failure? How can they hear the voice of hope when they're jaded by all the shiny new things in life whose luster fades quickly? You and I, we're the voice. We hear Jesus' voice. We share those words of hope and love. His voice speaks unconditional love, transforming forgiveness, renewed hope, and a meaningful future. So listen to that voice each and every day as you read and as you reflect on the words of Scripture, as you pray through what you read, and as you pray for your community. Ask God to direct each step of your way. His voice brings life. You're his voice. In your home, in your congregation, and in your community. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.